Fellow WOOC correspondent Aaron Pedinati invited me into the studio to discuss data justice and open source mapping software. This is part two of that interview.
Dan Pfeiffer, a Troy resident and artist, educator, and software developer interested in data justice. He is a co-founder of the Small Data Collective, creating new online spaces as public goods. He's also an entrepreneur in residence at Civic Hall in New York City, has a computer science degree from Harvey Mudd College and a master's from NYU's Interactive Telecommunications Program. Last week, I interviewed Dan about MapZen, an open mapping company at which he was recently employed. Today, we're going to talk about Dan's interest in data justice and civic technology. Dan, thanks for sitting down for this interview today. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about data justice activism.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
To start out, I'm hoping you can unpack this term for us. What is data justice?
I guess I don't know that I have a really good pithy definition of data justice. It does seem to combine a lot of other social justice issues together and use them as a frame for thinking about technology. So thinking about who has access to create the technologies that we use every day, what kinds of various social issues are embedded in the technologies as they're being created, how do we feel about the relationship between large corporations that are harvesting all this data about us? How do we feel about like their privacy policies? What kind of society are we allowing the likes of Elon Musk to build on our behalf? I mean, so these are kind of like a lot of the things I'm thinking about when I say data justice. I'm not sure if you say data or data.
But I think it's either or.
I think so.
So the idea here is that data itself is political and that technologies are expressions of social factors, social forces, social dynamics, that they have power built into them and that we should be aware of that power and that we should be addressing it.
I think that's my pithy definition that I was looking for, yes.
Okay. So did MapZen, the open mapping company of which you were part, have a data justice orientation in any of its projects?
It wasn't overt. I mean, we were, you know, as an open source, open data company, that was sort of like a whole part of our thing to start with. I think we were a little, as a corporation, you know, we were actually owned by Samsung, which is like one of the biggest, least concerned with justice. I don't know. I shouldn't say this. I mean, Samsung has a lot of problems with how it's, how it conducts itself. MapZen was a really righteous place to work. I loved everyone that was there. Our CEO was fantastic on a lot of these issues. As an organization, though, I'm not sure that we could claim any high ground on data justice or any other kind of justice. I mean, we were ultimately a company making good products that happened to be less abusive to the end users. But beyond that, I'm not sure we could claim to be like a data justice company per se.
Okay, so for you, data justice is something that you're kind of doing more as a side project, something that you're interested in at a personal level.
Yes, and there was, so when I was at MapZen, there was an instance where we discussed how to handle an abuse of our terms of service. Someone had this like overtly racist project. I'm not going to name it because I don't want to give it attention, but it was using our services and we were trying to suss out how to deal with that. I didn't think that it was, so we did shut his API key off. I think we did the right thing there. And then later on, we had a similar kinds of discussion around how to handle the Trump administration and how to handle uses of our services that, you know, might be, you know, against the inherent goodness we were trying to put out into the world. And I'm more ambivalent about the latter case than the former case, in part because I feel like I'm someone who is very politically active, and I do think that it's important for people to use their leverage within organizations, especially tech workers, to do what they can to do the right thing in the world. But on the other hand, like, government services are still like a vital part of like almost all of us rely on some aspect of government services. So I didn't like the idea of targeting the public sector by and large, or, you know, preemptively cutting them off before they did the thing we were anticipating. So during that discussion, I was happy to be just someone doing activism, going to protests, and then going to work and keeping the two things kind of separate.
Well, I think it speaks well of the company that there was a collective concern about these issues in the first place. It'd be nice if larger media companies, for instance, Twitter, were addressing some of these issues. But from what I've read about your work, you have civic technology side projects of your own. Can you explain what civic technology is in the first place and unpack its relationship to the idea of data justice?
I mean, similarly with defining data justice, I'm not sure I have a great civic technology definition. I mean, but my idea of civic tech is you're using your tech capabilities to promote some like civic good that you want to see more of in the world. And I mean, for me, a lot of what that entails is like civic engagement through cartography is one of them. And so the fact that I worked at MapsEnd is useful in that way. So like, for example, there's a data set that I'm really interested in working with that the EPA puts out. The New York Times just based an article on it, actually. It's the Toxic Release Index, and it has about 80,000 specific instances of where companies are known to have polluted the environment. And they're latitude, longitude encoded. They describe exactly what kind of pollution was involved, and they name names. You know, it tells you exactly who's responsible for it. As a list of, you know, it's like an Excel spreadsheet, basically. And in this form of a long list, it's not very useful to individuals. But if you map it, if you like put the points on the map and you see where the ones that are close to you are, you might think about it differently, and you might, you know, organize around that as an environmental issue.
Okay, so civic technology projects are sort of civic activism with a technological inflection.
Yeah, activism is a component, but I think it should also be understood to include more straightforward operational things. So, you know, there's civic tech applications where maybe you just want to like connect representatives to their constituents with fewer of the, you know, the less of the advocacy aspect to it.
So can you tell us a little bit about the specific civic technology projects that you've worked on?
Yeah, I mean, the one that I'm putting most of my energy into now is called Small Data. And Small Data is, it's a little bit hard to describe, but it's a set of software prototypes that I'm building that are designed in a certain way. They're designed to be simple, easy to operate, and they don't do all that many things. Like, they're very kind of narrowly focused. So I have one that lets you create and edit maps, and another one that lets you set up a chat room for your friends. And the thing that these things are meant to do is like operate easily in an offline setting. So if you happen to be like, you know, out in the desert or in the Catskills where there's no internet connectivity, these things will work well. Or an airplane, you know, there's lots of situations where there's no internet. But the more interesting situations for me are the places where the mainstream services are censored or blocked by government firewalls, and creating technologies that are accommodating to those situations, I think, is interesting. So that's one of the parts of it. The other parts are like, I want it to be a worker co-op, and I want to train people on how to operate the software. So it's kind of like a bunch of things at once, but it's all under this heading of small data.
So how does that idea of small data contrast with big data specifically?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, right. The name is certainly a play on the idea of big data, and it's definitely in opposition to it. I mean, the promise of big data, as far as I understand it, is if I'm a company that's gathering up all the data and housing it, I'm able to make these like magical assertions using fancy software and, you know, like, what is it? Analytica, what is that company?
Analytica Britannica, something along those lines.
Yeah, Analytica Britannica is you know, a famous case of this that was used in the 2016 election in order to help target advertising. Small data is kind of the reverse. It's like I'm interested in, instead of gathering every bit of data about everybody, just gathering all of my data and having more responsibility for it, having more capacity to archive it, inspect it, maybe decide to delete some of it that I don't want around, or encrypt it, or, you know, hide it from people. So that's the idea with small data, is like trying to bring it closer into my own sphere of influence.
And take a little bit of responsibility for your own online digital data trail.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tricky thing for me. I'm interested in everyone deactivating Facebook, but on the other hand, Facebook is where a lot of organizing happens. And this is the kind of, you know, how much should you disengage? How much should you use what's there already? And it's something that I kind of skirt the issue a little bit. I did deactivate my Facebook, and then I created a new one with a fake name. And this is like, this is my compromise.
Right. And if everybody did that, it would just be fake Facebook, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
It's a complicated double-edged sword with regard to a lot of these questions. So lastly, can you give us a specific sense of how data justice might be relevant to the Capital Region in particular as a resident of the Capital Region?
Yes. I mean, I think the easy examples probably have to do with uncovering corruption in state government. I have a friend who does like automated data journalism. And a lot of that's like looking through funding for politicians and making sure that the sources of funding are legit, and that, like, you know, just using some basic models to try to find the places where corruption is happening.
Yes, and that is certainly a big issue in New York State and the Capital Region in particular right now. So thanks very much for this interview, Dan. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you. That was me and correspondent Aaron Perinati talking about open source mapping. You can visit my website at pfeiffer.org to learn more, and that's spelled P-H-I-F-F-E-R.org.